Would you hear now the word of the Lord as I read for us Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 7. This is God's word for us. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Shall we pray together as we begin the sermon? Father, as we continue in worship, having worshiped in prayer and in song, having worshiped in the corporate affirmation that we believe you are really indeed sending out these brothers and sisters, and Lord, even if we're not believers, we're here, we may not believe in you, so we don't quote-unquote worship you, but we've gone through these things so far. Now we come to the part of our worship where we worship through listening to your word. Lord, please break past the fallibilities and frailties of human speeches, human speakers, and help us to really get into your word. If this is from you, Lord, if this is the unchanging, eternally relevant word of God, if this is from a God that knows way more than us and created us and was here before we were here, then would you show us by the power of what the Bible calls your Holy Spirit, may he reveal to us all that you want us to say. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to do a sermon series on a topic that I've been struggling with my whole life. Wisdom. While I've been known to be called a wise guy from very early age, I don't know that I have a lot of wisdom. Proverbs is a challenging book. On the one hand, we have an English concept of proverb. We think it's a saying, a short, pithy statement. But really, that's not the whole book of Proverbs. And if you have familiarity with this book, you might think it's simply a matter of going through and reading different proverbs or maybe collecting them together. And indeed, that's part of it. But actually, Proverbs is written primarily from the standpoint, initially from Solomon's perspective for most of it, as a king to his son. And so there is a sense of older to the younger, those in leadership to those coming up to take on the next generation of leadership, to those who are more experienced, to those who are less experienced, from those who are wiser to those who have more to learn. And so it's really humbling to teach from the Bible on any given day. It's especially humbling to speak after Carissa and Aaron have given talks, which I think were great. It's particularly humbling to talk about wisdom. But Proverbs is a book that I believe is arranged intentionally and spiritually through the Spirit of God. And so there is an arrangement. We will only do 10 sermons in Proverbs this year. And I was struggling all this past month. Do we try to fit as much as Proverbs into this series? Or do I do one of those things where Proverbs part one is in 2019 and Lord willing, Proverbs part two will be in the summer of 2020. Stay tuned. We still have a few weeks to figure that out. But for now, Proverbs chapter 1 verses 1 to 7 is the preamble. It is the beginning. It is why Solomon, or the person who arranged Solomon's material, it is why he wants us to understand and read this. It is about gaining wisdom. So 3 points that really lay the foundation of the whole book of Proverbs. Even if it seems like it's a mishmash, hodgepodge of sayings, I believe this is the preamble, the foundation for all things. Number one, what is the purpose of wisdom? What is God's purpose for us to understand this book and in his light, Lord willing, gain wisdom? What is the purpose of wisdom? Secondly, what do the results of wisdom look like? If we pursue and attain or gain this wisdom, what does it look like when it actually changes us? And the writer gives two pictures, two types of people that will gain wisdom. So number one, what is the purpose of gaining wisdom? Number two, what is the result? What will it look like if we actually grow in wisdom? And thirdly, what is the means or what is the foundation? What is the source of wisdom? How do we begin this project? How do we even do this enterprise? Number one, what is the purpose of wisdom? Number two, what are the results of wisdom? And number three, what is the source or basis or foundation of this wisdom project? How do we even presume to grow wiser? Can you really grow wise just by reading a book? And we shall see what the Bible says. So, point one, what is the purpose of wisdom? Well, this is probably written by King Solomon, if not him literally, then someone who arranged the material. The whole book is not full of Solomon's Proverbs. There's a variety of other writers and kings and people who have been added to the collection. But Solomon is given as the superscription here, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, probably out of honor, of respect, probably because he was the wisest king in Israel's history. And he did pen or at least gather, but most likely originate most of the sayings in this book. And it goes into verses 2 and 3 to understand the purpose of wisdom. Let's take a look at verse 2. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealings, in righteousness, justice, and equity. Let me explain this and let me give you the point. Here we go. Verse 2, to know wisdom instruction. Wisdom is the idea of the living, the skill that you're going to need. And instruction is the ability to recognize it, the understanding the words of insight. Therefore, point 1 is this. What is the purpose of wisdom? Skillful living. The point of wisdom is not to seem smart, to not be able to answer the best questions. The point of wisdom in the Bible is not to be, I don't know, knowledgeable or to be sagely or to grow long facial hair or to sit there with certain hand positions or leg positions. The purpose of wisdom, which is eminently practical in this very modern U.S. context, the purpose of wisdom is living with incredible skill. This is not the skill with people. This is not skill with numbers. This is not skill with abstract concepts or shapes and images. This is skill to live life. And it says not only live life in a sort of smarter way, but with a moral dimension. Would you notice that as you get skillful living, morality is affected and invoked? Verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand the words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, so in these traits, in righteousness, in justice and in equity or fairness. This is skillful living that will translate every dimension of your life, every aspect, every arena, every sphere. Skillful living, the ability to understand it, know it, and the ability to recognize its expression in real life. Man, if that doesn't get you excited, I mean, I could use skillful living. Think of all the situations you face in a day or in a week that if you took the time to go back and play through them, you go, oh, that didn't work really well, or I should have said that differently to my fellow coworker or to my boss, or I probably shouldn't have done that to my children, or I shouldn't have said that to my friend or my girlfriend or my partner or whatever. It's, think of all the situations. This is not, oh, she's really good with people, or oh, he's really good in organizational. This is living all of life. There's a story that I've shared a few years ago in some other settings and weddings and stuff, but there's a true story of a boy riding in a car with his mother, and as they're driving by, this is a woman's a Christian, she's driving by with the son, and looks up there on a big billboard, and the billboard has a big arrow pointing down to the building. And the billboard, as, you know, the boy says, Mommy, what's that? And she goes, what's what, honey? That big sign up there? And she looks up, and lo and behold, it is a billboard for an adult entertainment establishment, a pornographic establishment. A stripper club. And so now the mother is like, oh, this is a little boy. He must have been 3 or 4. She's like, what do they do in there, Mommy? She kind of stumbles. Well, not everyone has the same views on life and objectifying people. So it just, you know, it's just, she explains it and she kind of says, you know, yeah, it's not really great. You know, she doesn't want to see super judgy, condemn me, but wants her to know right and wrong, all these things. So she kind of struggles through and she goes, so you understand, honey? He goes, yeah, okay. He goes, oh, phew. Well, a little bit later, the boy is in the car on the same road, but this time with his father. And the boy, I have no idea why he says this, but driving on the same road, Daddy, yes, son, what's that? What are they doing there? And the father says, I don't know, son, I've never been inside. And then the boy says, you should ask Mommy, she knows all about it. I got that story from an old clipping written from the perspective of the wife and the mother, because she said, man, that was skillful. That's the kind of thing that we want our parenting to reflect. That's the kind of wisdom. The answer wasn't what they physically do or theoretically do. The answer wasn't about how to have a kind of relationship. The answer was skillful living for the right occasion in that moment. Skillful living. That is what the wisest man who ever lived, purportedly Solomon, says. This is what you will gain when you read this book. Read the Proverbs of Solomon, King of David, son of David, King of Israel, to know wisdom, skillful living, and instruction, and to understand it, to recognize wisdom when you need it and when you see it, to emulate it, to gain it, to grow in it. Skillful living, that is what Proverbs is. Not little pithy statements for memorizing here and there, but a general growth of your skill to live well. That's the purpose. Skillful living. If that's the purpose, what does it look like if you actually grow in these areas? And to help us, the writer is actually sort of going to paint two pictures. He's going to paint a picture of two types of people. These are two types of people that are going to show up throughout the book of Proverbs, but we won't have time to expand all of this. But two types of people in the book of Proverbs that when they gain wisdom, this is the kind of result that you aim to see. I'm going to describe what happens when one group of people gain wisdom. That group he calls the simple or the simple-minded. Other translations call it dull, which some people think is hilarious, but it's basically sort of the simple-minded or the not wise. And the other group of people, he's going to say, if you gain wisdom, if you read this book, if you grow in wisdom, this is what's going to happen to not just the simple-minded, but to the wise. Those who are already wise, what will happen if you read this book and grow in wisdom? Those who are simple, what will happen? So let's take a look first. What does Solomon prescribe for the simple? Take a look now at verse 4. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. And we've got to pause here and understand a little bit of Hebrew poetry. Hebrew poetry often has rhyming, not necessarily in sound, although some of the sounds are definitely in play, but rhyming in terms of a thought. So oftentimes you'll read this, you'll think it's saying two things, but really it's saying one thing sometimes in two ways. So the first line, to give prudence to the simple. That's one point. The second point is knowledge and discretion to the youth. Not exactly the same, but expanding. The simple is not the same thing as the, is not the opposite of the wise. If you're simple and you gain wisdom, you don't become wise. You gain prudence. The Hebrew word has a sense of self-control and restraint. And if you're young, because there's a general sense that the younger you are, the less knowledgeable you are, knowledge and discretion to the youth. So if you are young or immature or just less experienced in life or you are simple-minded, you will gain prudence. Now, in the book of Proverbs, there's a couple words for the scoffer, the wicked, and the fool. The simple, the word here in Hebrew refers to a kind of person who doesn't have wisdom, okay? The fool, which we're going to see at the end of verse 7, is different than the simple in the Hebrew word. The fool, we'll talk about, but the simple here is this. The difference between a simple person and a foolish person, think of it this way. The simple person can be taught. Person who is simple in this biblical use of the term may not know a lot, may know very little actually. Maybe because they're young or they're new or whatever, but they can be taught. So if someone calls you simple-minded or simple, you know, the U.S. use of that idiom and insult aside, biblically speaking, if you're simple or simple-minded, you're not dumb, you're not unintelligent. You just don't have the wisdom yet. But you're better to be simple than a fool, according, because a fool cannot be taught. Or better yet, a fool will not be taught. Or even better yet or worse, depending on your view, a fool thinks he does not need to be taught, because he thinks he is already wise. A simple person is one who knows they're not wise and can be taught. And if you approach this book and the Bible and God in general, knowing that you are not wise, but you're open, you will gain prudence, you will gain restraint, because often the first thing about wisdom, if you're new, is to know when to not talk. More on that in the summer. But that's what happens. If you're simple-minded or you're new or you're young, basically, by gaining wisdom, you will be teachable and grow and learn prudence and restraint. Now, if you're already wise, take a look at what it says here in the next verse, verse 5. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. To the one who understands and obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. And so here we talk about the wise. The basic point of the wise is this. To the one who is wise, you will gain even more wisdom. And here's the picture he says. He's going to give a picture of the word in English is translated guidance. It actually comes from a word in Hebrew referring to rope, and which is comes from the term for the word captain of a ship, the one who holds the rope. And nowadays, and if you think of a ship, you think of a rudder, steering a rudder, or you think of maybe a captain's sailor wheel. But in those days, they would steer a ship through the rope, guiding the sail. And so you will, if you're already wise, if you attend to wisdom, you will be able to guide skillfully a ship guide through life as a captain guides a ship with his rope. And that's the basic idea. And to the point where he says, you're going to understand four kinds of sayings. These sayings, again, we can unpack later in the summer, but four types of sayings. It says here in verse 6, to understand a proverb, and to understand a saying, to understand collections of sayings, which is words of the wise, and their riddles. And so here we have this basic picture. It does not matter who you are, where you are in life. You could be the wisest person in the room. You could be the most simple-minded person in the room. But if the purpose of living is, the purpose of wisdom is skillful living, then to the simple, you will gain prudence, you will gain restraint. To those who are already wise, you will gain the ability to guide through life, navigate these complex sayings, and skillfully sail your way through all your life experiences. I think of this when Steve Liu and I, Steve, who's the director of Project Destiny Ministries and directing our summer camp this summer, when we had to, because of the calling of God, we believe, learn how to ride motorcycles. Now, so some of you know the story. Years ago, Steve Liu and I were partnering with Pastor Tom, who's at another church now. We were in the Philippines, and we came back, and our missionary Sharon Tan said, you know, it'd really help if you come back and continue some of the work you did. We said, okay, if the Lord wills, we're willing to do that. And it would really help if you learned to ride a motorcycle. Steve Liu and I said, amen. Okay, so I remember we took the class, and I specifically remember the in-class instruction for this. Now, the in-class instruction is a thing where you sit there, you watch videos, you have talks, you lecture, the guy talks, and then there's the range, which is their word for riding, that place you ride a motorcycle on, which is weird. But anyway, the range and then the in-class. Now, there's different kinds of people in the in-class instruction. I'm not here to mock anyone on purpose. One gentleman I distinctly remember was a retired fellow, or an older fellow, never ridden a motorcycle in his life, but now that he's retired, he wants to get a tricycle. Those are those things you've seen. It's like two wheels in the front, wheel in the back. It's basically a motorcycle that will not tip over. Okay, so that's like for a person that doesn't want to try to balance. It's actually really hard to ride because it really is a car. Don't think of it like a motorcycle. But anyway, there's that. Then there were a bunch of other people. They were probably, I would even say, our age or younger than us. Although, of course, Steve and I being Asians, we look like teenagers. But these guys had actually, they're in this class to get the motorcycle license. But after a few hours, I realized these two gentlemen, they've been riding their motorcycles for years. How do you do that? Well, here's the thing. If you get a motorcycle learner's permit, okay, you can ride. And there's some, depending, I think we took the class in New Hampshire, there are different states. And just like now, if you get a teenager, they get a permit, but just a permit. You don't have to insure them, or that's what some people think. And that's how you get them driving for a long time without insurance, which I don't know. Let's read the book of Proverbs together and decide if that's a good idea. But anyway, so these guys, these gentlemen, got a motorcycle permit, which allows you to only ride during the day, and they rode for years. And I think you can renew the permit once. So I think one guy, I don't know, been riding more than 2 years, and then riding. Now, I remember, wow, you can do that? Like, yeah. So like, but can you ride at night? Like, no, you can't ride at night. Wow, you guys never rode at night? Like, well, so basically, you know, so here's the thing. They've technically know how to ride, but they've never been taught. And then we get on the range. And then we get on the actual motorcycles. And of course, the initial is just trying to move your motorcycle forward and all, just trying to brake and stuff. And these guys were just like, literally just blowing past us and stuff. And because, you know, we're trying to not stall the bike and everything. But eventually when we get to the more difficult parts, where there's turns and tight weaves and standing and sitting and then doing flips in the air. No, I'm just kidding. We didn't do that. But basically that, I distinctly saw something, and I remember having a private conversation with the instructor. I remember saying, hey, you know, those two guys, they probably know a lot. They've been riding a long time. And he said, well, yeah, but you can tell. They've never been taught. And he said, you know, that old guy there, I mean, his words. I said, yeah, it's like, this guy is going to be safe. When this guy graduates from our class, I'll feel okay about him because he's teachable. He may be older, but in this case, he was simple in the ways of motorcycle riding, and he's teachable. These two guys, unless they humble themselves, they're not going to, I'm really concerned about them. The course of the class came, and I think these instructors were very experienced, and it's my opinion that they actually gave some of these guys more difficult things to do. Eventually, they humbled them, and I think by the end of the class, everyone felt humbled, you know, because we don't know enough. And in that sense, you know, the point of this license is not to say you ride well, although you need to ride competently. The point of this license is we think all of you are smart and humble enough to not die. That's basically what it is. If you feel ignorant, young, inexperienced, naive, or simple, there is hope. If you seek wisdom, you will grow in skillful living. If you have that experience already, and you have the same spirit, humility, teachability, you will navigate even more life experience. You will understand complicated proverbs and sayings that you didn't understand before, because the purpose of wisdom is skillful living. I mean, skillful living in your family, in your work, in your health, in your economics, and how you view the world, how you think about politics, how you talk about politics, how you do politics. Everything comes from wisdom, for the skillful living of wisdom. So, the purpose of wisdom is skillful living. God wants to equip every single person in this room to live better than they are now, to live well, to live skillfully, not just be a good artist, not just to be a good engineer, not just to be a good, cook, but to be a good human, to be a skillful human being, created in the image of God. And in doing so, whether you're simple or wise, you'll move forward and grow in wisdom, gain prudence, restraint, or actually learn to navigate life as a sailor navigates the water. So, how is this possible? This is bold. This is exciting. This is enticing. How do we do this? And now we get to arguably one of the most controversial and maybe offensive parts of this opening passage. Because it's going to invoke God. And we have to talk about a little bit of things here. And it's going to invoke God. And it's going to sound harsh. But let's go to the final verse, verse 7. Famous verse, probably one of the few verses that most people know in the book of Proverbs, maybe either by heart or by reputation. Verse 7, the basis or the source of wisdom, the writer says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord. Now, I have to really unpack this. The fear of the Lord is a very, very interesting, somewhat challenging, but sometimes simple statement. The reason why some people have struggles with understanding the fear of the Lord is because they approach the fear of the Lord, they try to understand it in a way that you wouldn't do in other words. For example, the word butterfly, you can't understand butterfly by understanding butter and then fly. It doesn't work. And you laugh at that. But that's the same concept as the fear of the Lord. You can't really understand this term by thinking, well, what's fear? And then what's the Lord? The fear of the Lord, This is a term that is long as, that's just like, the word the Lord or Adonai is pronounced, but the tetragrammaton, the yod, hey, wow, for the Hebrew nerds. But basically that word has been known for Hebrew, from the beginning. And the fear is a fairly understood word. When you put them together, it becomes something altogether different. It is a relational term. The theologians call it a covenantal term. The fear of the Lord is synonymous in the Old Testament with the commands of the Lord or the statutes of the Lord or the ordinances of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is also synonymous in Deuteronomy 5 and 6 as the love of the Lord. So in this one phrase, you have the fear of the Lord. Those who have the fear of the Lord are those who keep his commands. Those are the Psalms, many throughout the Psalms. But you also have the fear of the Lord referring to loving God. And so, yeah, you could get the semantic range of fear, which is respect, awe, and terror. But the fear of the Lord is the sense to acknowledge that only through God and only by God can we ever make progress in wisdom. In other words, to grow in wisdom, the way the Bible says it is you have to acknowledge God is the source of wisdom. Now, a couple points about what this does not mean. This does not mean that if you don't believe in God, you're automatically an idiot. This does not mean that if you don't believe in God, that you are some unintelligent, you can't get quote-unquote wiser. This also does not mean that if you believe in God, you're automatically wise, okay? This says that in order to grow in wisdom, the best course, the best track of it is to acknowledge that God is the source and the originator and is real. C.S. Lewis has a famous quote, shows up in several places, but particularly the Four Loves. I believe in the sun and the light, not because I see it, but because I see all things by it. He makes a point in one of his books, you don't really see light. But you know it's there because by light you can see other things. Now I know some of you physicists know technically light, wave, and particle, whatever. But C.S. Lewis is professor of English, Anglo-Saxon. So the concept here is to understand that God is the way you see things. God is the way you understand things. And if you say, I don't believe in God, I guess it comes down to this. Are you willing to be open and teachable about the fact that God... Now, the book of Proverbs does not argue for God's existence. It does not argue or make a case for God. This may bother you, but I don't think it should surprise you. The book of Proverbs, indeed the whole Bible, it assumes God. And as it assumes God, it invites you to say, does this make sense? Is it coherent? Is it existentially viable? Can you live this way? And while there is value for Christians in this world to make the case intellectually, scientifically, rigorously, philosophically for the existence of God, every Christian is called to make the best case for God by living a life that says the best way to live and the best way to live skillfully is in light of God, His knowledge and His love, His power and His truth. I mean, Jesus Himself modeled this. When at the age of, when he was a young boy, he got lost, quote unquote, lost on his way to Israel and Jerusalem. And the parents looked everywhere for him. And they found him with the teachers of the law, teaching, speaking, but also learning. And the people in the temple praised the parents for, you have such a wise boy and such a humble, learnable, teachable boy. If Jesus wants to learn and grow, I know he's omnipotent and omniscient, but if Jesus in his humanity sort of withheld some of his omniscience and allowed himself to grow and allowed himself to not know things because God, the Father, chose him to not know things, then how much more than you and I to say, Lord, we want to have skillful living. It all begins with God. If you have a serious issue in your life, if you have a serious problem in your life, I know you want advice on money or advice on family or advice on health or advice on diet or advice on home building or whatever it is. And you might get some good short-term benefit there, but you know what this passage is saying? Every question and problem you will ever face will find its best and ultimate answer if you remember that God is there. If you remember that God is real. If you remember that God knows more than us. And if you remember that God loves you more than you could possibly imagine. And you say, well, what do I mean by that? What does that look like? Well, that's what the rest of the book is all about. As Pastor Steve preaches, last week, if you heard, or he preached his second to last church-wide senior pastor sermon, but because he kind of worships here often, he speaks English, he's going to preach for us a few more times in the English services. We're grateful for that. But come back as we continue. If you're just visiting, we invite you to listen online later on, or just come back some other point, but continue this journey with us. The goal would be that the humble people of God would grow in skillful living. As we begin this series, and we go into the summer, I know the summer is a time to not think about stuff. I don't have to think about the fact that my icicles, were messing up my roof. Or I don't think about the school because I'm done on break or whatever the issues are. Some of you have to think about more. Now, flooding, I know. But this is, I know, a time to think of maybe vacation or trips or changing things. But God, I think, is inviting us, where do you need wisdom in your life? Where do you just not need the answer or the right thing to do or say, but where do you need to grow as a person to be more skillful? Perhaps it will be found in the book of Proverbs. We won't cover it all, but surely the Lord will give us wisdom if we call upon His name. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Our gracious Father, I suppose Jesus is not just the model of a morally perfect teacher and man. He's also the model of skillful living. He knew when to stand up. He knew when to be quiet. He knew when to be in someone's direct confrontation. And he knew when to let things go by. He knew when someone needed encouragement. He knew when someone needed silence. He knew when someone needed correction. He knew when someone needed rebuke. Lord, it's not about memorizing all these scenarios so that we can do what he did in those situations. That would be burdensome and, frankly, not possible. It's about becoming a different kind of people. We don't gain wisdom by learning these little tidbits. We become wiser human beings. Lord, oh my goodness, we need that. I need that. My family needs it. Our church needs it. Our country needs it. So we pray, Lord, that those who know Jesus and call upon his name, if we truly fear him, help us to be teachable. Help us to attain and seek wisdom, which is found in you alone. Help us to say, Lord, I need more skillful living in our lives. And Lord, if we don't believe in Jesus, if we're not Christian, or if we maybe come back as our parents brought us or the summer or whatever, Lord, maybe this is a new chance. Inviting us to go, okay, maybe give this Christianity thing another go around. Because maybe I didn't realize it. I thought morality was about doing things. And I thought wisdom was about figuring out what to do in certain situations. But now I see that, God, you are more interested in not just making us learn little steps and tactics, but it's about changing us from the inside out to be the kind of people who build our lives on your word and on your hope, on your justice and on your righteousness. Build our lives on the cross. Build our lives on the fact that there's an empty tomb because there's a Savior that conquered death. Not only did he didn't just conquer death and redeem us from the grave so we could live aimless lives. He conquered death so that we might live skillful lives. Give us wisdom, O God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.